But pull out your handout from last week, and I'm going to finish it. Real quickly, because there's something I really wanted to show you there. Go ahead and be turning to Daniel chapter 12. I want you to look at two verses there as I finish up talking to you about this person called Abomination of Desolation. And go ahead and put a marker in Matthew 24. Matthew 24 and Daniel chapter 12. And chapter 12 is the very last chapter of the book of Daniel. And I've put a couple of handouts out on your table from last week in case you need one. Does everybody have one? I have a few more if anybody needs one. Okay, just turn over onto the back of it because that's where we're going to be. Got a very sweet note this week from Rachel. And I think I brought the wrong one, Rachel. This says, Dear Teresa, where's my dear Oasis? Hang on. I try so hard to be organized. It just never works. I'm a frustrated, unorganized person. Well, suffice it to say, we got the sweetest note from Rachel. And Rachel, I brought the wrong one. I brought the one you wrote to me. So, here it is. Thank you. I had it up here the whole time. Dear Oasis Sunday School class, words cannot express the appreciation and gratitude we have for the kind words of encouragement, support, and love you have shown us this past week. It's been a long week, I know, Rachel. Your prayers and presence, as well as your willingness to help with anything needed, has been a great comfort. Our family would like to thank you for the amazing meal you provided after Mother's funeral. The food was delicious. Having members of our class prepare and serve the meal and then clean up everything afterward was such a burden lifted off of us and allowed us to spend time visiting with family. Mother was so very precious to our family. She was part of the glue that held us all together. And that's true about mothers, isn't it? And she will be deeply missed. Times like this reminds us of the beauty and fragility of life. Thank you for wrapping your loving arms around us. I am truly blessed to be a part of the Oasis Sunday School class. Love, Rachel, and the whole Buford family. So thank you, Rachel, for that sweet, sweet, sweet note. So you just love on her today. Because it's hard. It's tough. She says, I'm going to be okay. And you are. But still hurts, does it not? Well, let's open with a word of prayer. Our Father, we're so thankful and so grateful. And Father, just for this privilege of studying the Bible together every Sunday morning. What a great honor. Just to sit around these tables and open up the Word of Life and to be taught and to understand is amazing. Your word is so deep and so wide, we could never exhaust it. And I mean, if we sat here the whole day, we could talk and teach and learn and grow. So Father, help us to be very careful handling your word. Help us to understand it, to rightly divide it, to know it. To be women who are women of your word, that we can be mature women, that we can be useful, that we can know how to pray, and that we can know how to live, and we can know how to communicate to others the way of life. And so, Father, I pray that for us, that we'll take the word of God very seriously. I thank you very much for bringing these ladies on Sunday morning. Father, thank you for filling this room with hungry hearts that want to know your word. Help us to make the most of our time together and help me to communicate effectively. And so, Father, we just look to you this morning. We come before you. We ask for you to quieten our hearts and settle us that we might sit here and absorb what we're learning and have an understanding of it. And Father, help us to be stirred up inside because Jesus is coming. And this time that we're studying about is a time that is coming. And it's a time of wrath. And we need to be about with our lives busy warning people about a wrath that is to come and to show them that they need to escape it by coming to Christ. Help us to live soberly in these days. Help us not, Father, to be worldly, but to break with this world and to be women who love you with all their heart, their soul, their mind, and their strength. Make us radical for your kingdom, Father. We pray for our church, that you would make us to be a church of your word. Father, bring revival to our body here at First Baptist. May we take very seriously your gospel, training up our children and our teenagers in it, reaching out and loving and caring for each other, having a deep fellowship that is so attractive to the world that others will want to come here to learn about your ways. And Father, we thank you for just the blessing of life, living it. Life is fragile. And help us to make the most of our lives. As we lay them down for you, we ask you to fill us, we ask you to use us. And we pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, oh yes, Nehemiah worksheet, sign up. If you already signed up, would you sign up again? Because I think I lost that sheet. I think I forgot to turn it in, and it's not in the bag. So if you've already signed up, just sign up again. It's going to kind of be coming around to every table. And the work day is October the 1st. It's going to be fun and get a lot done. Now, last week's lesson, we were looking at one verse out of Matthew 24. So keep your finger there in Daniel 12, and let's just read the verse. And this week I'm going to cover a lot of verses, believe it or not. And Matthew 24:15 says, "Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand." So last week, I was just trying to help you understand who is the abomination of desolation. Abomination means that which is detestable. In the Old Testament, it was used to speak of idolatry. And desolation means ruins. It's going to be an abomination that leads to ruin. Now, before that, in the first verses of chapter 24, we looked at this period of time in the 70th week here, and half of the week, we know from Daniel that the abomination of desolation happens in the middle of week 7, which is a 7-week time period. 3.5 years on this side of the abomination, 3.5 years on the other side. But whenever this happens, it's going to lead to Holocaust, to ruin. And this part of the tribulation is called the Great Tribulation. It's going to be much worse than the first half. Now, we looked at the birth pains that were leading up wars, famines, pestilence, all kinds of things. Martyrdom is going to be going on, earthquakes. Just all kinds of things are going to be happening in the birth pains. And then in the middle of that week happens this thing that Daniel calls the abomination of desolation. Turn back to chapter 9 first, and let's just review what we saw in verse 9, chapter 9, verse 24. Daniel is praying. It's about 3:00 in the afternoon, and while he's praying, an angel comes to him and gives him this amazing prophecy. It's a prophecy concerning his people, which would be the Jews, and their holy city, which would be Jerusalem. And he tells Daniel that, and I'm going to be going to verse 24 in a minute, that 70 weeks, I mean, have been decreed for you and your people and their holy city. Now let's see what's going to happen in those 70 weeks. And that was on your handout last week. Number one, to finish the transgressions. Number two, to make an end of sin. Number three, to make atonement for iniquity. Number four, to bring in everlasting righteousness. Number five, you're going to seal up vision and prophecy. In other words, everything that's been prophesied will be completed in that time period. It'll be sealed up. It'll be over. It'll be made manifest. And then number six, to anoint the most holy place. Now here on my board, I've got 69 weeks on this side, and 70 minus 69 equals what? Phyllis, you're our math teacher. There's 1 week left. It's Daniel's 70th week. And so in that prophecy, he says, from the issuing of a decree to rebuild in Jerusalem, there will be 69 weeks till Messiah, the prince. Did you know that the Jews could have known the very day their Messiah would be coming into Jerusalem? And there have been whole books written on this. A year in the Jewish calendar is 360 days. They could have taken 360 days, multiplied it times 69, come up with the number of days. History records the day that this decree was issued by King Artaxerxes. Nehemiah was the one that was going to go and rebuild. And that day, to the day, was the day that Jesus came in on the back of a little white donkey into Jerusalem, and they held him that day as Messiah, the Prince. I just think that's the most amazing prophecy in all of Scripture. But then in Daniel it says, after that, he will be cut off. He was crucified. Now, 69 weeks is history. They've already happened. There's 1 week left in history. Now, what they didn't understand, especially the disciples and all of Israel, was there was a gap between week 69 and week 70. We know that as the church age. But it was a mystery in the Old Testament. A mystery is something that's hidden that is not revealed. It did not become revealed until the New Testament time, and Paul was the apostle of that mystery. And so we are right here in this gap of time, and there's 1 week left. Now, last week I showed you a snapshot of history, and here it is. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. Daniel told him the meaning of the dream, and there are four major kingdoms on earth. This is it. There's Babylon, the Medes and the Persians, Greece, and Iron. And Rome. And those are all history. There's only one kingdom left. It's the kingdom of the Ten Toes. It's a revived Roman Empire. And out of that revived Roman Empire will come the Antichrist. The Antichrist is going to come out of Europe. They're going to align themselves with Israel and become their protectors. They're going to make a 7-year peace treaty with them. We'll protect you, they say. And so that's going to be during this time. But in the middle of that 7-year time, the Antichrist is going to commit what is called the abomination of desolation. That means that, by the way, during this time there will be a millennial temple built. They're ready to build their temple. They can build it in record time. They are ready right now. A mosque is on the Temple Mount. But as soon as they can, I can tell you the Jews are ready to build their temple. So there will be a temple during the tribulation time, and then there will also be a temple to come. After this comes the 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth. And there will be a millennial temple built during that time as well. Now, I'm just kind of giving you an overview. I'm not showing you exactly where it is, but we've covered this, and I'm just telling you that. Is everybody with me? All right, good. Now, turn to chapter 12, and I want to show you something. We've been looking at this period of time
3.5 years. Sometimes it's called 1,260 days in Scripture. Sometimes it's called 42 months. And sometimes it's called a time, times, and half a time, which would equal 3.5, because a time is 1, times is 2.5. So if you take that, add it together, you come up with 3.5. But there's something interesting that I want to show you out of Daniel 12. Let me find it in my notes here. That I just want to point out to you. Let me see if I can find Daniel 12 again. Now, what I want you to do is look at verses 11 and 12 with me. It says there, and from the time that the regular sacrifice is abolished. Now, that's right here. They're going to be having this peace treaty with the Antichrist. They're going to begin their sacrifice and everything in Jerusalem and their temple. But in the midpoint, it's going to stop. He's going to stop it. And he's going to put himself in the temple. And he's going to claim to be God. And he's going to demand that the whole world worship him as God. Okay? So, go back to verse 11. And from the time that the regular sacrifice is abolished, and that's it, right there, and the abomination of desolation is set up, I want you to notice there's a different number of days there. There are 1,290 days. Now, that's 30 days more than what we've been seeing all through Scripture as this 1,260 day period. So we've got to add 30 days here. Wonder what that's about. And then look at the next verse. How blessed is he who keeps waiting and attains to the 1,300. This is another number. And 35 days. And that's 45 days more added to the 1,260 days. And I just wanted to show you that. I put it on your handout because I want you to look. Now, what are these 30 days extra and these 40 days extra? Well, at the end of this time period, Christ will return at the very end of that time. And he will put his foot upon the Mount of Olives. And the Mount of Olives will split in two. And then all of the world will be judged during that time. And just jot this down. You can read about it in Zechariah 14, 4 and 5. And we're also going to look at it when we get to Matthew 25. So I'm not going to teach it to you right now. But when we get over to Matthew 25, 31 through 46, we're going to talk about this time period. Now, I think for 30 days, that's going to be going on. The judgment of the nations. And then he adds another 45 days. And I think what's going to happen during those 45 days is he's going to be establishing his throne in Jerusalem, setting up places of leadership throughout the earth that will be governed by his behalf. So let me see if I've got you thoroughly confused. There are going to be 1,260 days of trouble, which are known as the Great Tribulation, right here. Okay? Followed by 30 days that will break down man's kingdom, followed by 45 more days to set up the Lord's kingdom. Now, I want you to know that chapter 13 of Revelation gives us a lot of details about the abomination of desolation. And let me just tell you a few facts out of Revelation chapter 13. He's seen there's a dragon, who is Satan, standing on the edge of the sea. And out of the sea comes a beast. That beast is the Antichrist. That beast is given a mouth that speaks arrogant words and blasphemies. That beast is given authority to act for 42 months, which translates into 3.5 years, which translates into 1,260 days. This is the last half of the tribulation. And it also says in chapter 13 that it was given to him, the beast, to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And he's also given authority over every tribe, every people, every tongue, and every nation. He will be a world ruler. And all who dwell on the earth will worship him, Revelation 13:7 says, everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb that has been slain. You also see in chapter 13 that he has a cohort. He's known as the false prophet. This false prophet will join him. This false prophet can perform great signs and wonders in order to promote the worship of the Antichrist. He's going to put an image of the Antichrist on the Holy of Holies in Jerusalem. That image, the Bible says, is going to be able to talk and to cause the death of anyone who refuses to worship the Antichrist. He's going to set himself up as God. He's going to demand everybody to worship him. Now that is the abomination. That is detestable to God. And that is the thing from that point on that is going to make desolate and bring ruin. Let me read to you what 2 Thessalonians 2:3 and 4 says about this time. It says, the son of destruction, that's the Antichrist, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship, takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. He is the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders, and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish because they do not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. That's verses 3 and 4 and 9 and 10 of 2 Thessalonians 2. Now that is the abomination of desolation. Do you understand what that is? And then go back to chapter 24 of Matthew and look at verse 15 and see what it says. It says in parentheses, let the reader understand. Let the one reading this book of Matthew during the time of history, during the time of the tribulation, as you're reading this, understand what's going on. Understand the trials that you are enduring. Now, I want you to remember, where do I believe the church is during this time? Where are we?
Rapture.
We're raptured. We're not going to be here. And we're looking forward to that time when the Lord takes us out. After he takes us out, then the judgment comes upon the earth. So we get a clear picture here. He's telling his disciples about a second coming. And he says, first of all, there are going to be birth pains. And then comes what's known as the abomination of desolation. Now let's go to verse 16. Look at look back at verse 15. It says, when you shall see the abomination of desolation, then jump to verse 16. It says, then let them who are in Judea flee into the mountains. And so what I want you to see, let me see how I put that on my handout. The abomination of desolation means, number one, severe calamity is coming. Severe calamity is coming. Now, when this happens, he says flee. We get our word fugitive from the Greek word flee. He says, when you see that abomination, you better run. You get out. Because if you stay in Jerusalem, you're going to be very vulnerable to death. And when the Antichrist takes over in Jerusalem, he's going to set up his throne right there. The Jews that are there are going to be incredibly vulnerable. And so Jesus says, in that day, you just run. You run as fast as you can. And also, if there are any other people there, believing people who are Gentiles, you better run too. Now, where is Judea? Well, Judea is the southern part of Palestine. And the city of Judea is Jerusalem. Jerusalem is in the portion of Israel called Judea. It's the southernmost part of Palestine. So now listen, when this happens, right here, there's going to be a tremendous exodus out of Jerusalem. Now let me tell you something, sad. Not everyone is going to make it. Jot down Zechariah 13. I'm going to read you what Zechariah 13 says. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, says the Lord, two parts in it shall be cut off and die. Two out of every three will die. And verse 9 says, but a third part will be spared and refined and kept by God. I'm not telling a space fantasy here. I'm telling you what's coming in the future. This will come to pass. When this political ruler that's coming out of the revived Roman Empire takes over, claims to be God, makes an image, pulls all these kinds of things, he's going to start slaughtering the earth, and he's going to start right in Jerusalem, and people are going to have to run for their lives. It's going to be a holocaust. Now, let me tell you this. In Revelation 6, we see the six seals being broken. Remember Revelation? Six seals, seven trumpets. Seven seals, seven trumpets, seven bowls. It gets progressively worse. And when the fifth seal is broken in Revelation chapter 6, you're taking up to heaven and you're seeing all these people who were under the altar. And they're saying to God, how long, O Lord, until you avenge our blood on them that dwell upon the earth? How long? And white robes were given to every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until your fellow servants and your brethren have been killed. And that's part of the fulfillment of this time. There's going to be tremendous, tremendous martyrdom during this time. Now, do you remember where do the Christians come from? If I believe the church is raptured here, and there's no believing people on the earth, where are the Christians coming from? Do you remember? Can you answer that question? Because God never leaves the world without a witness. And for the first 3.5 years of this time period, who are his witnesses? Elijah and Moses. They're two witnesses. And they are in Jerusalem. And no one can touch them. And they are proclaiming. And then there's a special group, 144,000 Jews who are evangelists, who are going to have the seal of God upon their forehead. And they're going to be proclaiming the gospel all during this time period. And so people are going to be getting saved like crazy all over the world. And it's going to be the biggest time of revival the world has ever known. But it's also going to be a time of great martyrdom. You will die for your faith during those days. So when the abomination sets himself up in Jerusalem, what are you to do? You run for your life. You run. And not all will make it. Many will pay with their lives. And you better run fast because your life is on the line. And many will be willing to die in that day. You see, when the abomination of desolation is set up and the Antichrist becomes the ruler over the whole world, you have to understand he's energized by Satan. He's assisted by demonic forces. He's assisted by men and women all over the world. He's going to move against Israel, and they're going to have to run for their lives. And only one third of them will be able to escape. He also moves against believers. Now, Zechariah seems to look at the Jews, and Revelation seems to look at the Gentiles. Now, go to chapter 12 of Revelation. I want to show you something else. Because those who flee are going to actually get some supernatural help. Go to Revelation chapter 12. Now this is some imagery here in this chapter. This chapter is about Israel. It's a fascinating chapter in the Bible. Now there's a woman in this chapter, and the woman is Israel. So write that down. And there's a child in this chapter, and the child is Jesus. So write that down. And there's a dragon in this chapter, and the dragon is Satan. Now, the dragon in this chapter is persecuting the woman who is Israel. And the dragon wants to kill her baby, which is Jesus. Now look at verse 7. We see that there's a great champion for the cause of God to protect the woman and her child. Who do you see in verse 7?
Michael.
You see Michael. And Michael fights the demons. And in verse 8, Michael wins. Now go back to verse 6. And the woman, who's the woman? That's Israel during the tribulation time when Satan's doing all he can to destroy her. Where does she flee in verse 6?
Wilderness.
She flees to the wilderness. And so here you see Israel. She's running for protection. And it says there that she has a place prepared by God that he should feed her for how long? 1,260 days. How many months is that? 42 months. How many years is that? 3.5. So Israel is going to flee, and for 1,260 days, she is going to be supernaturally protected by God in a place prepared by God. Now look at verse 14. And to this woman who is persecuted, and she's given two wings of a great eagle. And that eagle, I believe that is just a picture of Michael, and he's coming and he's swooping her up, and he's going to carry her into the wilderness where she will be nourished how long? A time, times, and half a time. How long is that?
Three and a half years.
So for 3.5 years, Michael and his angels are going to deliver the people who are able to escape into a place of safety and refuge. I believe that they will be fed with manna. I really do. I don't know that. I just think that. I think that's so cool. Now go back to Matthew 24. And go to verse 16. So what we're doing is we're in Matthew and we're going to Daniel and Revelation to add more details. Look at verse 16. It says, where should they go? Where should they flee to?
Mountains.
Go to get in the mountains. And look at verse 17. Let him who was on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. That is where the patio is in a house in Israel. With, you know, they would have a patio on the top of their house and a staircase outside going up. So he says, don't even come down. Don't go back into your house. If this happens and you're up on the roof on your patio, don't get your belongings. I mean, you just need to run. Because when that thing happens, Revelation says that devastation will come like a flood, like a flash flood, like a fire across the land. Just get out. Don't take any of your belongings. Jump off the roof and run as fast as you can. Now, that would be really hard for us. I mean, I got to have my makeup and my hot rod. The reason you do it is because any delay would mean death. And the Lord says, get out of there. Run. Look at verse 18. Neither let him who is in the field return back to take his garment. See, you're out there working in the field and you've left your cloak over there on the cart a half a mile away. Well, look, you don't run back to get anything. You just run. You get out because Satan is taking over and a holocaust is coming. Look at verse 19. And woe to those who are pregnant and nursing mothers. Why? Because it's so hard to run when you have a baby. You have to stop and feed your baby, or you're pregnant. You can't move very fast. And look at verse 20. Pray that your flight be not in the winter or on the Sabbath day. Because, you know, if it's raining, it's hard to run. And if it's snowing, and it does snow in Israel occasionally, you can't travel very fast. And if it's on the Sabbath day, that can make you be hindered if you're trying to get out of town. And why all of this urgency? Look at verse 21. It says, for then, when this happens, there will be a great tribulation. And how severe will it be? Look at the rest of the verse. Such as has not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever will. And look at verse 22. Unless those days had been cut short, no life would have been saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. Those days will be short. Now that brings up a question. What does Jesus mean here when he says the days will be shortened? Because everywhere we look, what do we get? We get 1,260 days, 42 months, time, and half a times, 3.5 years. What does he mean the days are going to be shortened? Well, I think I can tell you what I think it means. If you take it as meaning those 24-hour days, if those 24-hour days should be shortened, and I think what is going to happen during this period of time, right in here, is that supernaturally, by his mercy and grace, God is going to alter the length of daylight in order to give them the protection of darkness.
And the elect is?
The elect is Israel and the ones who are saved. When the abomination of desolation occurs, people are going to be running for their lives. They're going to be hiding in the mountains. They're trying to get away from the Holocaust. And it says, unless the days had not been shortened. And I believe that you see that when you go, let me just give you three references out of Revelation. Revelation 6:12, that's the sixth seal. And you see an alteration of the heavenly bodies when that happens in the sixth seal. It says that the stars of the sky fell to the earth like a fig tree cast its unripe figs. The sky is split apart. It says that the sun becomes black as sackcloth, and the whole moon becomes like blood. Then if you go to Revelation 8:12, there you have the trumpet judgments. And in it says there that the sun and the stars are darkened, and the day shows not for a third part of it. So a third of the day is cut in the trumpets. And then when you get to the bowl judgments in Revelation 16:10, when the fifth bowl is poured out, you know what happens? The lights go out. And the world's in total darkness. So you see a gradual diminishing of daylight during this period of time. And when you get to the very end, by the fifth bowl, which the bowls are happening just like this, all the lights go out. All the lights. And so for the sake of God preserving his elect, his chosen people, he shortens the days. Now, I think that's what that means. He protects his people. He keeps his remnant. How many are in the remnant? 1/3 will escape. And there wouldn't be any redeemed Jew or any redeemed Gentile to go into the kingdom if he had not changed the daylight so that they could be saved. Isn't that fascinating? It's a time that's unique. It's just what Jesus said. It's a time that's like no other, nor will there ever be a time like that. Well, you know, total darkness couldn't last very long. We wouldn't survive, would we? You can't grow any food. You can't do anything without light. And so we know we're at the very end, and that's what happens. Now, here's what's happening. Everyone's running around. The ones that didn't die, that didn't take the mark of the Antichrist, they're hiding out. They're being cared for by the Lord. I told you maybe they're being fed manna. I don't know. But you know what they're going to do during that time? They're going to read their Bibles. They're going to know the book of Matthew. What are they going to be looking for? You're in that time. What are you looking for? You're counting the days, for sure. And you're saying, boy, this is unlike any other time period. And so what am I hoping will soon happen? I want Christ to come. And that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the Lord's return. But they're going to be very vulnerable during this time. You see, some false person could come running over and say, he's here, he's here. He's over in the desert. Hey, he's down by the sea. Oh, we've got him hidden in a secret chamber. Come quickly. Come, Jerusalem. Come and see. Look at verse 23 with me. Matthew 24.
Sorry.
Okay.
And he's already come.
Who?
The Christ's already come.
Raptured up. But there are Christians during this time period
So are they looking for his?
They're looking for his second coming.
No,
they're looking for him to return here. We go up with him at the rapture. The
not
church.
At the second coming.
No, we're with him already.
And that's not the second coming.
No,
the rapture.
No, the rapture is not the second coming. Exactly. This is what they're looking for. Is everybody with me? I believe the rapture happens here. I didn't put that on here. And that's when the church is taken out.
That's not the second time. That's what I was saying.
No. You see, he doesn't come to the earth. We meet him in the air when we are raptured. But here, he's going to return, and this is in Revelation chapter 19. He's returning on a white horse. He's got a blood-splattered garment on. The sword is coming out of his mouth. And he's coming to tread the winepress of the wrath of God Almighty. And the blood will rise to the bridle of the horses. For a period of 200 months, for a length of 200 months, that's how hard it's going to be. Yes.
I've heard this talk before, and I probably would agree.
That's okay. Go ahead.
I think when he comes back on his horse, he's going to bring his army, and that is all the saints of God.
Exactly, and that's Revelation 19. And we're all dressed in robes of white.
And I think that's one of the.
And we're coming with him. That's exactly. I was just fixing to say that. Thank you, Stephanie. And so he's going to return here. And that's what these people who are saved in the tribulation, who have not been martyred, they're hiding in the mountains. They're being supernaturally protected by God. And darkness has come to even help them in their protection during those days. And they're waiting. They're waiting for this day for him to come from heaven is what they're waiting for. And so look at verse 23 with me. Then if anyone says to you, behold, here is the Christ. There he is. Do not believe him. For false Christ and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders, so even as to mislead, if possible, even the very elect. So Jesus says you've got to watch out for confusion. The Antichrist is going to try to trap you, to draw you out, to catch you, to kill you. He wants to wipe out all of the redeemed. He's going to use every means. He's going to use deception. He is the Antichrist. Christ was full of God. He is full of Satan. And he will do amazing signs and wonders. And so you have to be very careful for that. But they can't be deceived because God is protecting them. So there they are. They're waiting for the Messiah. They're hidden away. And verse 25 says, behold, I told you in advance. So if they say to you, behold, he's in the wilderness, do not go. Do not believe him. Or if they say he's in the inner room, do not believe him. Now, how do we know when he gets here? Look at verse 27 and we're done. For just as the lightning comes from the east and flashes even to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. Now let me just tell you, we're going to talk more about it next week. His coming will be sudden. His coming will be public. His coming will be visible. His coming will be glorious, universal. The whole world is going to see his coming. The lights go out at the very end. And then the sign of the Son of Man, he's coming in blazing, glorious light. And the whole world will see him. Now jot down Revelation 1:7. Let me read it to you. Behold, he comes with clouds, and every eye shall see him. Revelation 19, I mentioned a while ago, tells us about his coming. He's blasting out of heaven. He's riding on a white horse. He's followed by all the white-robed saints and the angels of heavens in glory coming to earth with a sword, a blood-spattered garment to bring judgment to the world and to destroy all the armies who have set themselves in battle against him. Now, one more thing I want to show you in verse 28. For wherever the carcass is, there the vultures will be gathered. Now, what an odd little thing for Jesus to say. That's a proverb. Where the carcass is, there the vultures will be gathered also. Now, in this proverb, you see a dead animal, and you see vultures, and that's exactly the picture. Christ is going to come as a vulture to a dead carcass. And that's showing us that the world is going to be so corrupt, it's going to be so sinful, it's going to be so wretched, it's like a decaying carcass that's just lying out. And the Lord's going to come like a vulture to the world, and he's going to tear and rip and shred that carcass to pieces. And it's a very vivid picture. Very vivid. He's going to swoop down in final judgment. So you have the birth pains, you have the abomination of desolation. And what should they who are alive do when that happens? They need to run, because calamity is coming. It's going to be a confusing time and a corrupt time. And one more thing will happen immediately. Look at verse 29. It says, and immediately, and you'll have to come back next week to see what that's about. Let's pray together.
Teresa,
yes. Sure.
The books about the different, you know, the tribulation and all that.
Yes.
In your opinion, are they fairly accurate?
Yeah. They are. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you. Thank you for putting all of this in your word so that we can know what's coming. And in knowing, it just stirs us up. We want to live for you. We want to be a chaste, beautiful bride awaiting her bridegroom. We want our garments to be white. And Revelation says that the righteous deeds are the garments of the saints. And Father, help us to be pure and spotless, and to live with a zeal and a passion for you and for your kingdom. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'll see you next week.